Support for this program is provided by Chevron, the human energy company.
This is Politico Energy. I'm Catherine Morehouse. There's a controversial Alaskan mining road that has tested the Biden administration's priorities for years. And now we finally have an idea of where they're planning to land. We're hearing that the Interior Department is preparing to reject a project called Ambler Mining Road, which would have made billions of dollars in copper and zinc deposits accessible, but it was also fiercely opposed by Native tribes in the area. The decision from the administration is once again an example of how it's trying to balance these different and sometimes opposing goals. On one hand, the president is pushing the country toward a clean energy future, which requires access to a lot of minerals like copper and zinc. But the president also wants to conserve the environment and avoid harming the communities that he's promised to protect. So today, I chat with Politico contributor Adam Fetterman, who's been tracking this issue, about why Biden is rejecting Ambler Road and what the stakes for energy policy are. It's Thursday, April 18th.
Ambler Road is a 211-mile industrial access road that would run from the Dalton Highway north of Fairbanks across the interior of Alaska to access a copper and zinc deposit in the northwestern part of the state. And it's been championed by the delegation and the state of Alaska for many years, going back to at least 2009. What it would also do would open this relatively undeveloped wilderness region to all kinds of future development and industrial mining.
And it sounds like you learned that the Interior Department plans to reject this project, which sounds like quite a massive road in Alaska. So tell us about what you've been hearing.
Yeah, so we've started to hear that Interior is soon to release its environmental impact statement, and they are, in fact, planning to choose the no action alternative, which is highly unusual for the Bureau of Land Management, which usually says yes to development projects. And in effect, what that means is that the project in its current form will not move forward, and the state agency behind the road will have to either file some sort of legal challenge or go back to the drawing board and come up with a new plan to kind of realize this project.
And you investigated this project back in 2021. I would love to hear more about that investigation and what some of your top takeaways were, as well as what's happened since then.
Yeah, we did a big story for Politico Magazine on the Ambler Road project in 2021, which looked both at the potential impacts of the road, which would cut through what is today one of the largest roadless areas in North America. It would cross part of Gates of the Arctic National Park, tribal lands, hundreds of streams and rivers, if not thousands, and have major impacts both on subsistence resources and the environment. But the story also looked at how the Trump administration handled the environmental impact statement and some of the flaws in that document, particularly around how they downplayed impacts to subsistence and tribal communities, which is one of the issues that the new EIS has tried to rectify.
Yeah, could you tell us a bit more about that, actually? So what you found and what the Trump administration downplayed and how that's fit into what's happening today?
Sure. What we found was that the BLM state director in Alaska at the time under Trump, a guy named Chad Padgett, who had formerly been a longtime Don Young staffer, really pushed the agency to kind of minimize potential impacts to subsistence hunting and fishing. And he played kind of an outsized role in the analysis, which is typically left to scientists and other career employees. So he had a large role in the sort of the findings that were in that initial environmental impact statement, which not surprisingly was challenged by the Tanana Chiefs Conference, which is a consortium of 42 tribal villages in Interior Alaska and several environmental organizations. They sued Interior. And essentially what happened under Biden is that the DOJ agreed that the EIS was deeply flawed and requested a remand to redo sections of the EIS that dealt with subsistence and several other issues.
And I want to talk a bit about the impact, the potential impact on the clean energy transition, because as you laid out in the beginning, this road could be really critical to that transition. It's a road that accesses a lot of minerals that are needed for that transition and for a lot of those clean technologies. So what is the potential impact of rejecting this road on the Biden administration's goals and, again, that transition to clean energy?
Yeah, it's a really good question. It's a difficult one to answer in some ways, in part because it would take many years for this road to be built, and the mineral deposits remain, it's somewhat unclear what other kinds of minerals might be within this region. So, for example, we know there's large copper deposits, but the question of whether there are, in fact, rare earth metals, which are critical to the clean energy transition, is sort of yet to be determined. I think the Biden administration's calculation is probably that the road would have faced many other hurdles, and there was a very good chance that it probably would not have been built ultimately because of costs and other conflicts, including conflicts between the state agency developing the road and one of the major native corporations in the region, which recently terminated its land use agreement with the state. So I don't know that this particular project was viewed as, you know, particularly critical to realizing the clean energy transition. But of course, that is one of the dilemmas that the administration has faced in considering these projects.
Also, the Biden administration is moving to reimpose oil sanctions on Venezuela. Senior administration officials said on Wednesday that the Treasury Department will not renew the temporary sanctions relief for the country's oil and gas sector, which expires this week. The Biden administration determined that Nicolas Maduro's government failed to live up to its commitment to holding free and fair elections this year, in exchange for temporary easing of sanctions. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our free newsletter at politico.com/power-switch and subscribe to Politico Pro to read our morning energy newsletter. Some of the music in today's show is composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. And that's our show. I'm Catherine Morehouse, and we'll see you back tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Chevron is taking action to keep methane in the pipe. Their 2028 upstream methane intensity target is set to be 53% below the 2016 baseline. And they're committed to evolving facility designs and operating practices. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/methane.